Who will stand against our King? No one can. No one will. Oh, oh, victory belongs to Jesus. Victory belongs to Him.
Amen. Today's service is a special service. And I want to especially welcome you to the Father's Day service. Amen. You see, the women are not clapping. You see. You see. You see. The celebration of Father's Day is so lame. The day is sick. Unlike Mother's Day. If it was Mother's Day, you see white. Father's Day, some want to wear brown, some want to... Man, God is our help. Amen. Amen. I want to especially welcome you to this, the third Sunday of the month we call the month of power emphasis. And because today is a Father's Day, and there is a hijack that we should look at understanding fatherhood. And I believe you'll be blessed. You're not happy, so you're not clapping. Hallelujah. Understanding fatherhood. Genesis chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Genesis chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. The Bible said, this is the book of the genealogy of Adam. In the day that God created man, He made him in the likeness of God. He created them male and what? And blessed them and called them mankind in the day they were created. So they were not called mankind before the blessing. But after the blessing, he called them mankind. I take it again. This is the book of the genealogy of Adam. In the day that God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. He created them male and female and blessed them and called them mankind in the day they were created. Understanding fatherhood. Praise be to God. The issue of fatherhood, ladies and gentlemen, is one of the longest standing problems that confront the human race. Yet, it is the least of issues that people are willing to address and talk about. But it is important as a church for us to look at this subject, especially today being the Father's Day, for us to be able to address the common problems in families and at home, and also ensure that we will have a more stable family in our generation. It's a good place to shout an amen. Amen. Before a male becomes a father, that male must first of all become a man. A male, being a male, defines the, how do you call it, the gender of an individual. Being a male defines the gender of an individual. You see, you don't have to pray in order to have the features of a male when you are born as a male. Once you are born as a male, you interact with your world as a male. For example, when a male is sexually aroused, whether he likes it or not, he will have an erection. Having an erection is a feature of being a male. No matter how he prays against it, the moment he's sexually aroused, use the blood of Jesus against the ability to be aroused, he will not succeed, because it is in the feature of a male to have an erection when he's sexually aroused, unless, of course, he has a higher problem. In the same vein, a female doesn't have to pray to exhibit the features of being a female. Once you grow as a female, you develop breasts. Then a time comes that you begin to see your monthly menstrual period. Whether you fast, whether you live holy life, whether you apply anointing oil morning, afternoon, evening, say, Father, I bind the flow of blood at the end of the month, it will not work. Because it is a feature of being a female. Are you there with me? Now, So before a male becomes a father, he must first of all be a man. And what is a man? A man's definition is when a male possesses the ability to have godly qualities. A male possessing the ability to have what? Godly qualities. And you are a man when you have the ability to exhibit godly qualities. A male, you know, you can just exhibit the features of a male. Once you are growing, you have Adam's apple. Your voice becomes thick. Hello. You grow, beard. There are certain, your muscles begin to, come out. Those are features of being a man. But when you are a man, you express godly qualities. Hallelujah. And there are certain lifestyles you must exhibit for you to be called a man. Hello? How do we know that you are a man? Unless you exhibit certain qualities. The number one way we know that you are a man is when you are able to manage or master aloneness or being alone. Your ability to master or control being alone. In the day God created Adam in the Garden of Eden, God left Adam without a companion for some time to see how he'll be able to manage being alone. You qualify to be a man when you are able to manage being alone. God was observing Adam, his ability to manage being alone. That is what to inform God to know whether to present a woman to him or not. A man that is not able to manage being alone is still a boy. Because boys are always in the company of other boys to feel complete. A man is a man when he's able to stand alone and still doesn't lose his peace of mind. Boys will always be in the company of boys. So every now and then, they must meet with other boys. Every evening, they must meet together. They must drink beer. They must play snooker game. They must have some games ongoing. Because unless they have the company of other boys, they don't feel complete. It is not occasional, so every now and then. So God observed Adam and realized that this guy is able to master how to be alone. Then God now said, it's not good for man to be alone. Because if you don't master being alone, you cannot have a companion. You worry someone's daughter for nothing. You marry a woman, put her at home, you are roaming the whole of Accra. Where are you? I'm with my friend. I'm with my boy. You know, I'm boys. You are a boy. Are you there with me? When God realized that he was able to master being alone, he said, now, it's not good for man to be alone. Then he brought him a companion. So you qualify to enter into the state of being a father when you are able to manage aloneness. Give the Lord a clap of hands. Praise be to God. The second way we know that you are a man is when you have an ability to exercise constraint. You have an ability to exercise restraint. It means that you have an ability to control your emotions. When Adam was created, all the animals that were created in pairs, male, female. But Adam never complained. That God, why is it I'm the only one you created as one? People who are still boys or males who do not graduate to become men, they always complain. When a boy is sad, you can know that this boy is sad by their facial expression. They must act it out for everybody to know. When they are hurt, they will tell everybody that they are hurt. But when you are a man, you are sad or not, you are able to exercise constraint. You are a man. You see, so when there's a fight and people come to you, say, you are the man here, so Charlie, you hold it. A boy is a boy because anyhow they feel, they must exhibit it. When they feel to wee-wee, they must do it. When they feel to poo-poo, that's why boys wear pampers. Because anything they feel, it must come out. But when you are becoming a man, When you feel poo-poo or wee-wee, you know how to hold it till you have a convenient place to ease yourself. How many of you know what I'm talking about? But when a male is still a boy, when he's angry, nobody will be happy. He must burst out. He must make everybody feel uncomfortable because that male is not a man. He's still a boy. When he's hurt, he must take to his status. Women. This life no balance. Oh. This life, are we going or we are coming? He must vent it. But a man knows how to exercise constraint. A man knows how to exercise restraint. Proverbs chapter 14. Can we go into the word of God? Proverbs chapter 14 verse 29. Give it to us in the NIV for clarity's sake. Thank you, Holy Spirit. The Bible said, a patient man has what? Great understanding. But a quick-tempered man displays folly. It means that the foolishness of every man is in his anger. If you are not able to exhibit or display patience, you that you are wise, you begin to behave as a foolish person. Are you there with me? Boys exhibit foolishness when they are angry. But men, when they are angry, they exercise restraint. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 19, verse 11. Just a few scriptures, still in the NIV. Any other version apart from New King James and King James. A man's wisdom gives him what? Patience. It is to his glory to overlook an offense. You are a man when you are able to overlook an offense. When you identify an offense, you go and write it down in your book. Because payday will come. So that you call a family meeting. You say, on the 15th of January, she did the same thing. At exactly 4:03 p.m. 25 seconds. You can't overlook an offense. You are not a man. Boys take note of offense. That is why when you offend them, they carry their ball. It is my ball. For you to play, you will not play. Last time, what you did to me, you will not play my ball. Boys don't overlook offense. Men overlook offense. Give the Lord a clap of hands. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 28. Proverbs 25, verse 28. A person without self-control, that's not it. Give it to me in another version. Good. Like a city whose walls are broken down is a man who lacks what? Self-control. If you can't exercise restraint, it means that your defense is gone. A man who is heavily defended is a man who is able to rule over his own spirit. When you provoke him, he's cool. Such a man, when he hits you, you don't recover. But a man who easily vents, the least he's venting, that man doesn't have a defense. Like a city whose walls are broken down is a man who lacks what? Self-control. Give the Lord a clap of it. And so society is busily trying to define who a father must be based on what they must do and not do. And many women are also trying to define men by how they estimate them. And this thing is bringing a lot of problem to men. And men are getting overwhelmed. But this morning, we want to have a look at these things. Many times, fathers are defined by the expected roles they are to perform at home, or in a community, or in a nation. And these fathers are getting overwhelmed because they feel like they are losing their identities. This has affected men so much so that many of them are hiding from their homes. They are hiding in the communities. We have men, but they are hiding. Because how society wants to define, you see, the worst thing you can do to a man is to demand from him what is not wired to give. His makeup, how he's wired. He's not supposed to give a particular, and you are demanding, you hide. Oh, he will hide. Many men are hiding. But this morning, I see the head of men surfacing. In the mighty name of Jesus. No wonder the stress on men right now has affected their life expectancy. You see, a survey has been made even in 2020 about men in West Africa. When you give birth to a male and a female today, the male after 63 years in West Africa will die. All factors being equal. 63 years. And the female, 65 years. It means that women live longer than men. All factors being equal. So you see that when you go to villages, you see a lot of old ladies. The old men are gone. Why? Stress. Pressure. So for fathers to live long, for men to live long, we must understand fatherhood in order to lessen their burden. Men, you are not giving the Lord a clap of faith. Hallelujah. So many women enter into relationship and marriages with certain expectations by which they want to define a husband, a father, or a leader at home. Some of them have an expectation that you must be a good cook. So if you are not a cook, you are not a man. Some have an expectation that you must be able to satisfy them in bed. You must be a Rambo or Jet Li. Once you satisfy them, based on that, they define you as a man. Some also have certain expectations that you must be romantic in public. Once you open the car door for them to sit down, you are a real man. Some men and some fathers have been able to do some of these expectations, but it looks like the women are not getting satisfied. Now men, when they meet, they say, what does a woman want? Men are trying to figure out what women want. The teaching this morning is to unveil the purpose of a father so that he will not be overwhelmed by the expectation of the society. To get the best out of a man, to get the best out of a husband, to get the best out of a leader at home, he must be defined by his purpose. He must not be defined by the role he's supposed to perform. Give the Lord a clap of faith. A man's purpose in the family can be known in the mind of his creator. Not on television. Not on Google. If you want to know the purpose of a man in the family, then you consult the manual. You consult the manufacturer. You consult his creator, his maker. Then you can know why he created a man. If you don't know how to play a guitar, the man who manufactured, you must go for the manual from him. That's why when you buy stuff, they add a manual to it. That means that don't use this gadget based on your understanding. Follow the manual and the gadget will last. Are you there with me? Yes. A man or husband, leader, father is best defined by what is in the mind of his creator. I want you to understand that fatherhood is God's agenda for humanity, and any scheme to displace the authority of a man is a scheme to destroy the family. Any scheme to displace the authority of a man in the house is a scheme to destroy the family. An American researcher and the president of the Institute for American Values, he said something. He did a research and he said that fatherlessness is the most destructive trend of our generation. He didn't say that being wayward. He didn't say that drinking alcohol. He didn't say that using drugs is the most. He said fatherlessness is the most destructive trend of our generation. So that if a family will be destroyed, destroy the father. Once you touch the father of the house, that family is destroyed. Every family and nation will be destroyed. The fathers must be rendered ineffective. In many advanced countries where the black race is targeted, what they do is that they build bigger prisons, set the black men up, and put them in prison. Once there is no father at home, the family is going nowhere. So when they see that you've given birth to a baby, then they are on your case. until you are in prison, they will not leave you alone. So that by the time you come back, the bond between you and your child, the bond is gone. You don't feel attached to your child, and your child develops a certain level of hatred for you. So you see that in the prisons, the blacks are there. They are gymming. They are there and they are gymming. The blacks are kept. Why? They want to destroy the home of the blacks. They know that to destroy a home is to take the father away. Are you there with me? A male is designed by God to father his wife, his family, and his community. A male is God's answer to foundations. When God wants to build a house, build a home, the man must be the foundation. What does a father mean? A father is from a Hebrew word, Abba, which means source. Everybody shout, source. Which means sustainer, short sustainer. Which means foundation, short foundation. The male is the father, not because he is male. He's a father because of how God formed him. The Bible said that God created the male from the dust of the earth. And I told you that a male is a male based on his features. So God created a male from the dust of the earth. And then God put a spirit into that dust and he called it man. Hello? The same spirit he put into woman, he calls it man. The spirit of a man or a woman is called man. It is that man that causes an individual to possess godly qualities. Remember we said it. So he created a male from the dust of the earth. He put a spirit into that male and he became a living soul. Then out of that male, he formed a female, making the male the source of the female. Are you there with me? So the male now becomes the source of the woman. And another word for male is sustainer. Anything that comes from the male must be sustained by the male. So when a house comes from you, when a family comes from you, when a wife comes from you, you must sustain it. You are the one to keep it right. You are the one to keep it sound. You must be the one to keep it protected. Praise be to God. God is called the father of all creation because he has the ability to support and hold his creation in place. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3 says that he holds all things by the word of his power. So when you are a man, whatever thing that comes from you must be sustained by you. There are some people give up to 6 children. They can't take care of them. And they are crying. When you are giving birth, you must have at the back of your mind that you must have the ability to sustain them. Some after giving birth, then they start sharing their children to people. Go to your auntie. You see, the child will grow without a father's love. May it never be in your case. In the name of Jesus. So, based on how the man was created, he must be a father. Father means source, because the woman came from him. The family came from him. Another word for father is progenitor. Progenitor. So, pro means support. Genitor means, it comes from the word gene. Hello? Gene. And then we say generations. You see? It takes gene to produce a personality, a quality, and type. So when we are looking at a nation, it takes fathers to make a nation. You want to see the state of how a nation is, is the fathers that have produced it, because they are the progenitors. When God wanted to form Israel, God went to Abraham, the father of many nations, to produce what? Israel. Give the Lord a clap of it. Are you following me so far? So, the quality of a family, of a community, of a nation is determined by the men in it. No matter how well women are adored, spoken well of, they cannot replace the authority of a man. A male is different from a female, and a place of a male cannot be replaced. I want to give you 3 differences between a male and a female. When a male speaks, he says what he thinks. But when a woman speaks, she says what she feels. Hello? So when a woman is talking to you, she wants you to be giving facial expression to suggest to her that you are really feeling what she's saying. Saying, really? Hey, okay. So when you're not doing, I say, I'm talking to you, you're not listening to me. So I can hear you, go ahead and talk. He said, no, as I'm talking, you must be looking at me. Because she wants you to feel what she is feeling. When a woman speaks, she says what she feels. When a man speaks, he says what he thinks. A man identifies with work, and a woman identifies with home. Hello? These are the different. The last one is that a man's topmost need is respect, and a woman's topmost need is affection. So a man and a woman, we are not the same. So those people who are activists, women activists, women, you can do it without men. What a man can do, women can do better. You know, why would you want to compare yourself to a man in the first place? From that point, you have lost the fight. You can be empowered independently without comparing yourself to a man. Because how God wired a man is different from how he has wired you. Are you with me? Yes. Or are you with me?
Yes.
So the place of fathers is given a topmost priority in the Bible. When you read Ephesians chapter 6 verse 2, the Bible says, honor your father and mother. It didn't say honor your mother and father. Bible is very deliberate and intentional. Honor your father and mother. Fathers come first before mothers. Father is not a title. It's the word father is a word of responsibility. Hello? The moment they call you father, oh daddy, knows that your title is not a title. That means that they are calling you for responsibility. Go to your father. Call your father for me. Father, father. Know that you are going to work. Father is a word of function. The women came from him. The sperm to produce the children came from him. And all this is must be sustained by the man. Praise be to God. God didn't say love your father or mother. He said honor your father and mother. You may not like him, but honor him. You may not agree with him, but he didn't say you should love him. Because you only love something that is treating you well. He said, honor him. Give him his place. Are you there with me? Give him what? His place. To honor fathers mean fathers can be dishonored. It is possible to dishonor your father. And when you do that, you undermine your own source. You undermine your own foundation. You undermine your own sustenance. Any man who dishonors the father comes under a curse. Bible says his light will be taken out. Fathers are like roots. And children are like fruit. When a tree will die, first of all, its root must die. Once the root is dead, the fruit will be no more. So, a nation that will perish, the nation will start undermining its fathers. Hello? Dr. Kwame Nkrumah is dead and gone many years. But the narrative about his life is changing every day to undermine his contribution. Are you there with me? It's a nation that is heading towards doom. You cannot undermine your root and still produce fruit. Are you there with me? That's why the enemy fights fathers, because they are the root of every home. They are the root of the society. If the enemy wants to destroy an individual or a family, he's coming for the father. After the father, the sons. Are you there with me? Give the Lord a clap of hands. Can we continue? Proverbs chapter 20, verse 20. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 20. Whoever curses his father or his mother, his lamp will be put out in deep darkness. Whilst you are walking through life, and you get to the place of darkness, and you've undermined your root, your father, your mother, that's when your light will go off. And then you begin to wander. The reason people wander in life is because they don't have roots. They don't have fathers. They have disconnected themselves from fathers. Tell someone and say, don't do that. There are three major types of fathers. Number one is the absentee fathers. These fathers are never home to provide fatherhood role model to their family. They find every reason to be distant from home. The children grow to have no life of discipline because there is no father at home. You can't correct them. You can't correct such children or rebuke them because there was no father to start that with them. So they become indisciplined and do what they like. They grow up to be foolish and unwise. Absentee father. You wake up in the morning, your daddy is not home. So where is daddy? Someone comes and says, oh, your daddy is still at the beer bar. That father is not home to provide role model and inspiration for your life. So you grow up, no one has ever rebuked you before. So when someone rebukes you, you get very offended because it has not been started with you from home. Proverbs 22 verse 15 says, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it from him. It takes the rod of correction to make a foolish child to become a wise child. But where is the father to bring the rod of correction? Hey, don't use swearing words at home. Don't insult. No one is there to say. So small child can see an elderly person and then shoot all the insults. And when they do that, it's because there was no father at home. Hello? There was what? No father at home to teach them discipline. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. Many people grow up, and though they are old, they still exhibit foolishness because of the absent father in their lives. I pray for you that you live long and be a father to your family. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. The second type of father we have is irresponsible fathers. Irresponsible fathers. These fathers are present but are very careless in their dealings. They don't think about leaving legacies for their children. They live for themselves and not for their families. They pay the school fees of other children, but they never pay the fees of their own children. They don't care about having good reputation. They don't think about saving for their children. The thing is that they live for themselves. They don't care what people think. No, to hell with your opinion. They waste money on friends who don't care about them when they are stranded. They live an excess life. When they are drinking, they drink excess. When they are partying, they party excess. Everything must be excess. Because to them, there is no future. When they have money, they think that the money will come tomorrow. So they'll waste that money today. Go tomorrow, take care of itself. But they don't know that sometimes when God is blessing you, the blessing he has given to you is the last one you have in life. Because it's that blessing that you must work with to begin to have interest and profit in life. But to them, tomorrow will take care of itself. Don't even the Bible says, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. They don't live responsible life. They are irresponsible. These fathers don't save for their children. These fathers beat their wives in the presence of their children. So their children also grow up to become irresponsible. They become wife beaters. If you don't, I'll slap you right now. Because where did they take it from? From home.
They don't care what you think. They say, why are you coming back by this time? Didn't I give you your money? So keep quiet. Why are you policing me around? Because they are not, they don't know that you don't live for yourself. You live for the family. Hello? You don't live what? For yourself. The moment you say you are getting married, brother, you are getting married. So I want my space. Which space? You have sold out the space long time ago. When you say, I want to marry you. Are you there with me? So these children grow up from an irresponsible home and they become problems in the society. We're here this year. I think this year, when that 15-year-old and the 16-year-old killed a child for blood money. 15 years. You want to drive Range Rover. So they have to kill. Well, if there was a father at home, he would have taught them process. You know, when you move from class one, you get to class two. Everything you are doing in life, you are accumulating discipline, values, to become an important person in the society. 15 years, you are not working, but you want to drive Range Rover. So even if he has to be, he has to take the life of another person, you don't care. Because no father is at home to teach them. Even if they are there, it's as if they are not there. God is raising great fathers in the house today. Amen. And for every woman hearing the sound of my voice, you are going to marry a great man. Amen. You marry a great father. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 4. Irresponsible fathers provoke their sons. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath or to anger, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. You know, when you are growing up as a child, all that your parents will tell you is that honor your father and your mother, honor your father. And but below, give us verse 2. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2. From verse 2. Verse 2 says, honor your father and mother, who is the first commandment with promise. Verse 3 says that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. Verse 4, and you fathers, do not provoke your children. But that one, many fathers don't see it. When you are irresponsible as a father, you are provoking your children. When a child is provoked and the child has anger in him, he's uncontrollable. He's a deadly weapon. Many children are angry. It's just a matter of time for them to detonate. Just blast, boom. Because fathers have maltreated them. So they are just buying time. One day when I get money, the day I'll leave this house, no one will see my taillight. They are angry. They are just buying time. Fathers, don't provoke your children, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Praise be to God. I believe that most of us men in this room can admit that we did not have role models in our fathers. Unless, of course, you had a role model, so you don't know what I'm talking about. Many of us, maybe your father was absent or your father was irresponsible. But what it is that you can break that cycle. And you will break that cycle. I say you will break that cycle. You know, a sin of a father can visit, like that day that I was sharing this with you, I told you. The sin of a father can be visited to the fourth generation. Exodus chapter 34 verse 7. I need 5 men to illustrate something. 5 men, just come in front. If you are a man or you are a male. Okay, 5. It's left with 1. Good. So the Bible says that having mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. What it means is that, stand here. This man is now a father. Is that okay? And this is his first child. Wow. All right.
But he has committed a sin. He has committed a sin. And Bible says that the sin that he has committed, the penalty and the punishment will come upon this his child. And when his child also gives birth, it will come. So this is the second generation. This is the first generation. Because of what the father did, it will come upon this child. Then it will go on this child. Then he too, he has given birth. We all do naming ceremony and dedication. This is child. Then the sin dies for this one. He doesn't know anything about his great-great-great-grandfather. But the curse also comes on him. He grows up and he's like, God, I've done everything right. I have sown seed. I'm a committed member. How come I am suffering? Because of the irresponsibility. Because the day he impregnated that woman, he said he's not the one. And the woman also spoke a curse that since you say you are not the one, you and your children will suffer. Because the Bible said a curse without a cause will not stand. The further the curse is working means that your fathers have been guilty about something. That's why when you are a man or you are a father, you must be very careful. Are you there with me? So, because of what he has done, Bible says it will be visited on the first, second, third, and even fourth generation. That is why when you are part of this generation, you must be a prayer machine. Are you there with me? Because if this man left properties, by all means, you will enjoy it. They say all truth is parallel. Hello? When he leaves property and transport business, you don't have to, queue for job. You enjoy it. You leave it for like Coca-Cola or Arthur Guinness, Colgate. You leave it for your children's children to come and enjoy. In the same vein, when you leave things, you have left it for your generation. God bless you. God bless you. Are you there with me? So being a father, you are not living for your own self. You are living for generations unborn. So whatever thing I do in my life, a generation is going to come. Maybe I will not be alive to see them, but they will thank God for my life. Are you there with me? Whatever thing you are doing, you are not doing for your own self. Listen, when your father is a drunkard, you are going to suffer that addiction. Just grow up. Once you are growing up, something will get triggered, maybe a broken heart. The next thing you go to is alcohol, because it is already registered where? In the gene. Are you there with me? When you go to the hospital and they are not able to diagnose something, they give you a form, and then you begin to feel in your bloodline, father, do you have this condition? Asthma, diabetes, stroke. Then they can look on it and diagnose you. Because they know that there are some things, even medical science admits that there are some things that can be transgenerational. But I pray and I lift up prayer over your life that every curse, thank you, Holy Spirit, anything that has left your parents and is fighting you today, because today marks the Father's Day service, let it be removed out of your life by the power of the blood of Jesus. Whatever thing you have no idea about that is fighting you as a replication, as an outcome of a curse, fighting your destiny, you have done all you know to do. I lift up prayer through the blood of Jesus that let that outcome be taken away. Let the curse be blotted out. Lift up your letter, shout, it is blotted out. Shout, I am free. I am free. I am free. In Jesus' name. Give the Lord a clap of faith. Hallelujah. Amen.
So the onus is on every man hearing the sound of my voice to become a good father to his wife and his children. And it is possible to set a new standard in your family. And I pray that you'll be the one. Amen. Shout an amen. Amen. Like I said, for many ladies here, it's highly possible that you can get married to a man who is struggling with certain habits because of an absent father. You see, what you are dealing with, you are not dealing with a man. You are dealing with a history. Can I take that again? You are going to marry a man, but you are marrying a history from a background you have no idea about. So before you get married, ask him, was Papa home? Was he around? Was he irresponsible? Tell brother, let's talk. Let's put all your cards on the table so that you can know what you are going to deal with. I'm telling you, there are some husbands that are so angry for nothing. The least provocation, the house is on fire. Because you are dealing with a history. You are not dealing with an individual. Are you there with me? But I pray for you that should you find yourself in that case, may God give you capacity to deal with it. May God give you capacity to deal with it. May God give you a wisdom that can surpass every affliction and attack of the devil in the life of your man. In the mighty name of Jesus. Can you shout a better amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So you see, there are many ladies that will be dating. The dating will be so sweet. They go to KFC. They go to Chinese restaurant. Everything is cozy. Then they want to get married. Then it looks like a monster has been invited. Because now, the man must play a father role. Then hell breaks loose. If you are not strong-headed and you are not a person of the scriptures, you may not continue. Are you there with me? What do you do if your earthly father was a failure? And that will lead us to the third type of a father. Good or perfect father. Matthew chapter 5, verse 48. Matthew chapter 5. Verse 48. What do you do if your earthly father was a failure? Therefore, you shall be perfect, just as your father in heaven is perfect. If your earthly father fails, you have a heavenly father to learn from. Hello? If your earthly father fails, you have what? To learn from. You can apply God's standard on earth and you still be successful. What is God's model of perfect fatherhood? You know a perfect father by looking at a perfect child. When a child is perfect, it's just a hint that the father of that child is perfect. When I have a daughter, and I live with a daughter at home, and my daughter tells me that, oh, daddy, I've met somebody who is showing an interest in me. I don't have to meet the man. I just have to keep looking at my daughter. For the next 3 months, for the next 6 months, then I'll know the character of the guy. Are you there with me? Because the more they keep talking to each other, they are exchanging values. So if your daughter doesn't used to read a book before sleeping, but after dating this guy, see that she's bought a book and she's reading, they're like, hey, this guy is coming home with some good values. Hello? Your daughter used to pray before she sleeps. After, when she started dating this guy, by the time she gets home, she's smelling of smell of ice. So when she can't even pray. She's going to, because the guy come, you know, it's a cargo. It's an alcohol cargo. So he's recruiting your daughter small. He has started with smell of ice. Oh my God. So you don't have to miss the guy. By looking at your daughter, you know the character of the man. So if you want to know the lifestyle of God, let's look at Jesus. Are you there with me? Once we look at Jesus said, he that has seen me has seen the Father. So once we look at Jesus, we can know how God is and how he looks at things. 10 things Jesus learned from his Father. Number one is identity. Shout identity. Jesus didn't struggle with an identity. He said, I and my Father are one. You know, when people don't have, if you are a father and you don't give an identity to your child, what happens is that the child would like to have an identity. Last time I told you, that's why many people join occult. Because they want to have a sense of belongingness. They want to have a sense of an identity. That, hey, we are all caught. If you joke, I'll finish you. Because you've not given him an identity, he's looking for one. That is why he's a Chelsea fan. God, he must belong to a group to feel good. Because home was not there to provide him an identity. That's why he can never move from a Barcelona fan to become Juventus fan. Every father must give an identity to his children. Say, you are for God. Because you are for God, we don't go after this pattern. You must give the child an identity. Without that, the child will look for one. Go and join some mafia group. Use bandana to cover, nose down. They do santo, they don't smile. He's looking for what? Identity. Are you there with me? That is one. The second thing Jesus learned from the Father is work. Is what?
Work.
Jesus said, I must go about my Father's business. Work. He said, whatever thing I see my Father do is what I also do. So every man must leave work for the children. Work is different from a job. A job is the one that you are paid 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Then you are paid at the end of the month. That is a job. But work means that you have left a legacy for them. You have to fight as a father to do that. And I pray to God, the God of all grace, all may stretch your hands towards me right now. May God put work in your hands. All women, you as receive it for your man. See for your man. May God put work in your hands. Like the way God gave the garden to Adam. May God create a work and put it in your hands. Let it become transgenerational. In the mighty name of Jesus. In this place, may God empower your hands with work, with work, with work that will survive the test of time. In the mighty name of Jesus. Politicians will not close down your work. Witches will not close down your work. This work, your children will come and eat of its fruit. It shall stand all the years. In the mighty name of Jesus, I release angels into your life. May them give you the key to be able to unlock works. In the mighty name of Jesus. Anyone who is on salary over here, I pray for you. Under this atmosphere, may God move you from that place and give you a work. May God take you from that realm where you have to rely on a boss before you be paid and make you a boss on your own. Receive that capacity in the name of the Lord Jesus. Receive that grace in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord a clap of him and shout, I receive it 3 times. 2, 3. Hallelujah. Jesus learned from the Father purpose. Purpose is teaching others. Your ability to teach. Genesis chapter 18 verse 19. Genesis 18 verse 19. Jesus learned from the Father purpose. Genesis 18 verse 19. For I have known him. This is God testifying about Abraham. Why he made him the father of many nations. For I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him. That they keep the way of the Lord. To do what? Righteousness and justice. That the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has promised to him. So Abraham was a father of many nations. Not by accident. Because the man knows how to hand down secrets. Hand down regulations and instructions from God. When you are a father, you must be able to translate the word of God into the life of your children. Praise be to God. The next one is heritage. Jesus was proud to associate with the Father. You know, heritage is properties that can be inherited. Amen. Some of you, some of the heritage, or one of the heritage you believe in for your children is a good name. Hello? A good name. And so Hitler, say, hey. Do you say Hitler or Hitler? So Hitler. He said, okay. I shared a true story with you about Hitler, that two of his cousins are in the United States of America and they have refused to get married. Do you know why? They are afraid they'll give birth to
somebody who will become like Adolf Hitler. So they choose not to get married. Because the guy has not left a good name. So because of science and understanding, they choose not to give birth. Because the wicked gene, it will be dormant in their lives. But when they give birth, it will become active. The Adolf Hitler part two. Because that guy was a strategist. He's able to wipe out a whole generation with his mind. You will leave a good name. Amen. So one of the things Jesus learned from the Father is that the application of power. Power against contrary forces. And he had authority, right to give orders and enforce obedience or compliance. He learned from his Father authority, the right to do what? Give orders. Yeah. Legitimacy, which means authenticity. He made him go through the right process to get things done. When Jesus was born, God never used him until he was 30 years. Even 30 years, he had to be baptized. That's the Son of God. John the Baptist said, this man is greater than I am. He said, no, let us fulfill all righteousness. God showed him how to be legitimate. You must go through the process. Because every stage you go through, there's something to learn. Hello? There are some problems you are going through. God is not punishing you. He's working on your character. He's working on your values. He's teaching you something that when the teacher teaches you, you will not get it. So he's taking you through the process so that when you come out, you'll be a fine gold. Amen. Amen. He taught him destiny. He learned destiny from the Father, the sense of future. When God speaks, he speaks about the future. When the devil speaks, he speaks about what? Your past. Because the devil does not know what happens to you in the future. That's why when you hear the devil's voice, he's telling you about regret. He will bring a picture of what you have failed in for you to be sad. But when God speaks to you, he speaks to you about what? Your future. So when you have children, you have people under your roof, you must point to them the future. So this is exactly what your father did. Then your father didn't go anywhere. You are still doing the same thing. You always keep talking about the past. No. Point them to the future. If you do things right, you will become the chief justice. You will become a lawyer. You become a pastor. You become a business mogul. This is how they go about it. Stop talking to them about the past, but talk to them about what? The future. That is destiny. Jesus learned from the Father family, a sense of having family. And the last one is that Jesus carries message. You know, I can preach a sermon, but I'll not deliver a message. Many people go read books, they put things together to preach a sermon. But to have a message is to know what God is saying at a particular time. So you see that when you come to church and the word of God comes, you're like, as if pastor knows my issues. He said it as if like he's reading me. It's because the sermon carries a message. Give the Lord a clap of hands. What can you leave your children? What you can leave your children is not a car. Because a car will deteriorate. Hello? You can't leave your child shoes. Because shoes will be outmoded. When they grow, it's no longer in vogue. You want to, you see that trousers that holds your tie, and then when it gets, then it branches. What's the name? Palazzo. Hold my tie and leave my leg. And so I bought you this in 1961. That when you grow, you wear it. They will not wear it. You don't leave that to your children. You leave them values. Luke chapter 22, verse 29. That's our last scripture. Luke 22:29. And I bestow upon you a kingdom, just as my Father bestowed one upon me. So Jesus was left a kingdom for us. When you leave something for your children, it's something that will be relevant in every day of their lives. Hello? You teach them values. You teach them the ways of God. It's good to leave material blessings,
but there are some things that will be irrelevant in their lives. Praise be to God. How to become a good father. Number one, know the Heavenly Father and represent God to your family. Know the Heavenly Father and represent God to your family. People who know me, one thing I'll do when we are becoming close is that I'll change your language. You know, a lot of people, Pastor, it's not easy. I say, that's why it will not be easy for you. Say it is easy. Bible said, he that is in Zion shall say it is well. Or no one living in Zion shall say, I am sick. Or say to the righteous, it is well. But yeah, it is difficult. It's not easy. But the Bible said, it is well. Hello? So Charlie, how the economy can't check. Be like, say, we are for Bogao. No, confess. We treated that one last week. Say the things you want to see, and then you see them. Praise be to God. Why? Because there's power in your mouth to change the story of your destiny. The second way to become a good father is to love the mother of your children. The third one is to love your children. The fourth one, be responsible for your children. I want us to read 1 Timothy 5:8. Be responsible for your children. 1 Timothy 5:8, quickly. This is the last scripture. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he is what? He has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. There are people who God has lifted, but they like to do good to outsiders, but they don't do good to their own family people. So why are you not doing it? Say, my wife does not respect me. My children do not respect me. Forgetting that you are the one who produced them. The Bible said if you don't provide for your family, you have denied the faith. It means that you are not a Christian. Don't come to church. He said you are worse than an unbeliever. An unbeliever may be bad, but you are worse. The tongue you are speaking, keep it to yourself. Don't bring offering. Because even God has denied you. Once you have denied the faith, God is not with you. You are very wicked. Me, I know a man. He will not pay the fees of his children. No. He will pay the fees of other people's children. And those people will come, the family will come and thank the wife to thank their husband for them. Very wicked man. And I watch to see how the man will end. The man is miserable. Now he's miserable. And I saw the scriptures cannot be broken. Scriptures can never be broken. He provides for outside so that he will look good outside. People will speak well about him. I said one time they were talking to the children of this man. Some people say, hey, your father is good. So are you talking about my father? Are you talking about? Because the things they are saying about their father, they don't know it. See, your father is very kind. Last time people were working. By day, he just passed and bought watches for everybody. Meanwhile, he will not provide any money at home. Bible said you have denied the faith. If you are a Christian, if you are a follower of God, you must provide for your family first. First, if there is no food at home, food is going nowhere. Provide for your family what? First, before you take care of people outside. Praise be to God. So that you don't be worse than an unbeliever. I don't know how bad an unbeliever is, but the Bible is saying you are worse than an unbeliever. That means we should embrace an unbeliever and leave you with your tongues, with your visions, with your giftings, with your money. We should not embrace you at all. God, you are a wicked, insensitive, demonic individual. In fact, you go to hell. I'm taking it personal. Praise be to God. So be responsible. Be responsible for your children. Teach and instruct your children. Teach them. There are some fathers, they find it difficult to rebuke and correct their children. You know why they are afraid? Brother, man up. You see, the next time you do this, you will not have it easy in this house. If you like, try it. You must be a man. Train and discipline your children. Encourage your children.
Comfort your children. Warn your children. Do not provoke your children. Leave a strong spiritual legacy for your children. May God bless all fathers. Hallelujah. As you are seated, you want to tell God that, you know, many of us here, we need work. We don't need a job. Before Adam was created, God had created a garden of Eden. He created work for him before he came on the scene. You want to tell God, whatever place my work is, let it come to me. And you are a lady hearing the sound of my voice, though today is a Father's Day, God can also empower you to have a work. Or I say, God, give me work. Give me my portion of work. The younger son went to the father and said, give me my own share of my estate. There is a portion of blessing for you in God. Ask for it today. God will give it to you. And when the younger son asked, the father gave him his own portion of blessing. Ask God to give you.